Today's daf is Bava Basra daf Kuf Chaf Vav. We left off in daf Kuf Chaf Hey Amid Beis, and we're still discussing whether the Bechor is Notal Pishnayim in all these different elements, whether he's Notal Pishnayim in a milveh and in shevach and all of these different issues. So just to wrap it up now, four lines from the bottom of daf Kuf Chaf Hey Amid Beis says the Gemara Amar Papa Hilchasa Ein Abal Notal Baroi Kubamuchsak. First of all, in terms of the husband does not take Baroi Kubamuchsak. Before we even get to the Bechor, a husband doesn't get Baroi Kubamuchsak. When he yarshins his wife, he only yarshins that which his wife already had, not that which his wife was supposed to eventually have. And that's related to what we were just discussing, because we just mentioned the story of the great grandmother and the great granddaughter's husband, and what was supposed to be yarshin by the great granddaughter, but wasn't because she died first, and then the husband claimed that he had some right to it, so that related to Ra'ui and Muchsuk. So Rav Papa says, no, we paskin, the Baal does not get for Ra'ui Kibbe Muchsuk. Number two, so number one, Eina Baal Notal Baroi Kibbe Muchsuk. Number two, Ve'eina Bechor Notal Baroi Kibbe Muchsuk. Just like a Baal doesn't get Baroi Kibbe Muchsuk, a Bechor doesn't get Pishnayim Baroi Kibbe Muchsuk. The Bechor is only going to get Pishnayim of that which his father already had. That which was coming to his father, the Bechor does not get Pishnayim of. He just gets the regular Yerusha. Number three, Ve'eina Bechor Notal Pishnayim B'milve Bein Shegav Karka Bein Shegav Ma'os. That Bechor does not get Pishnayim from a loan that was due to his father, whether he's collecting karka, whether he's collecting money. Meaning, we had a discussion yesterday where we had svaras in each direction. Right at the bottom of Kuf Chav Dalet Amud Beis, we had a machlokas between Rabbah and Rav Nachman, where there was a svara to say that maybe he should get Pishnayim in karka, but not in money, or in money and not in karka. What was the svara? Well, we said money might be called muchzak. Why would money be called muchzak? Because when I lend somebody money and he pays me back money, the money he pays me back didn't come from nowhere. He just gave me back the money that I gave him. So I was already muchzak in it. So when the father lent somebody money and he's owed money and the person's paying him back cash, that's just returning the cash that the father already had. That's muchzak. But karka, the father never had the karka, so karka would be ra'ui. There's also a svar to say the exact opposite, that karka is called muchzak. Why is karka called muchzak? Because the moment the father lent somebody money, he had a shibud on that karka. And a shibud is called muchzak. Whereas money, milvalot sadnitno, when I lend him money, he's not supposed to give me back the same money that I gave him. He's supposed to give me back different money. He's supposed to use that money, invest it, do whatever he can, and give him back different money. So now the Gemara is coming to a conclusion that the halacha is that neither is considered a muchzak. The Bechor does not get pishnayim on a loan, whether it's paid back in karka or whether it's paid back in cash. Either way, it's not considered muchzak. If you look at the Rashbam on that last point, Ein Bechor Notal Pishnayim B'Milve Va'afilu B'Shtar Bein Shagavu Karka Bein Shagavu Maos. Even if the milva was bishtar, in which case there's an automatic shibud on the karka, and whether you collect karka or whether you collect money, the lav hai karka v'lav hanima'os shavak lo navu'on, the father never had a chazaka, was never muchzak in this particular karka, nor in this particular money. Vavalei ra'ui. Granted, it was owed to the father, that just makes it ra'ui, but he was never muchzak in it. Then adds the Rashbam, v'itafis ala mashkon, but if there's a mashkon connected, if the father had taken a mashkon for that loan that he had made, afil Rav Papa Bechor Notal Pishnayim. Even Rav Papa would say that Bechor indeed gets Pishnayim. The Kaimlan Balchov Kona Mashkon. Because we paskin that Balchov is Kona Mashkon. So since he's Kona the mashkon is the embodiment of the halva'a. So the loan that's due to him is right here in this mashkon. So he's considered muchzak on the money that's going to be paid back when he's holding on to the mashkon, which represents the money that's going to be paid back. So a mashkon, if the father took a mashkon, the Bechor would get pishnayim in the loan when the loan gets paid back. That would be considered muchzak. In fact, we saw yesterday that was one of the svaras to say that perhaps when there was a shtar, that was the svara to say that perhaps when there's a shtar, the Bechor should get pishnayim. Because we said that the Rashbam had said that maybe a shtar counts like a mashkon. What difference does it make if the mashkon has inherent value or representative value. So a normal mashkon has inherent value. A shtar has representative value. So maybe you would say that a shtar counts like a mashkon. So we happen to not paskin that way, the Rashbam says. We paskin only a real mashkon that has inherent value, counts as something that's muchzak. But that's the idea of a mashkon. Now, one more point. Tosfos, in the second Tosfos on the page, Amar Rav Papa, Hilchsa de'ena bal notel bara'ui, right? Rav Papa paskins over here that the husband does not get ra'ui kubam muchzak from his wife's estate. Says Tosfos, aval shevach notel, kidapir shakuntros. However, the husband does get shevach, meaning whereas a bechor we discussed that whatever improvements were made to the estate after the father died, the bechor does not get pishnayim of those improvements. A husband gets improvements that were made to his wife's estate after his wife dies. Dekivan de'inu yorish ela, dekivan, what's the gears over here? Dekivan deleka yorish acher elahu, that makes more sense. And since there's no other yorish besides for him, he is the yorish. The husband is the one that's yarshing his wife. Zocha bin nechasim miyad. So he immediately acquires all the nechasim of his wife. He immediately acquires the entire estate. Ubir reshu so bahashavach. And therefore, whatever improvements come to his wife's estate after she dies are his, because it goes straight to him. Ulahachi lo chashiv masisim perik yesh bechar gabihanu de'in notlin beroi kubo moksuk. And that's why a husband is not listed in the list in the Mishnayos in Meseches Becharos of people who do not get beroi kubo moksuk. Why not? After all, he doesn't get beroi. No, because he has slightly different rules. Everyone else who doesn't get beroi also doesn't get b'shevach. The husband gets b'shevach. So since he doesn't equal everybody else on the list, he doesn't make the list. Mishum debal yesh lo shevach. The husband at least is entitled to the shevach after his wife dies. Vua dinami de lo shakel bal bimilvas ishto. Now the halacha would be, meaning once we're throwing it all together in a couple of brief lines, all the halachos of a husband yarshining his wife, together with the halachos of a bechor getting pishnayim, so let's hammer it all out. We discussed a bechor getting pishnayim of a loan, of the milva, the ribbis, that's what we discussed yesterday. What about a husband receiving yerusha of loans that were due to his wife? Right? So says Tosfos, Hua dinami de lo shakil bal bimilvas ishto. A husband does not get yerusha of loans that were due to his wife. Afil bimasha lovsa ishto minichse milug. Even if she lent money from her nichse milug. Taha nezek nami avik nichse milug kudu mukhmasis in demetzias isha. Because we consider nezek to be a form of nichse milug. Vafilu hachi mashman parak sharshanach dal vehe de lo yarispal. And the Gemara says in Bava Kama that the husband is not yoresh her the nezikin payments that are due to her. So he's not going to be yoresh the loans either. Now, if you skip ahead a few lines, on the first wide line, Tosfos asks a very simple question. What does Rav Papa say over here? Number one, a baal doesn't get beroi kibbe muksuk, and number two, a bechor doesn't get beroi kibbe muksuk. Isn't there a better way to say that? Why do you have to say two separate sentences? Just say, ein habal va bechor notel beroi kibbe muksuk. Why do you have to say it as two separate, completely separate sentences? Frank says Tosfos, velekalak shuye, do not ask, da mailo ariv vitani luhu bahadi adadi. Why don't you say it together? The ein habal ubechor notem b'roi kubemuchzak v'notem b'milve and the ein notem should be b'milve, and they also don't get in a milve, because after all Tos says we said is three separate statements. A bal doesn't get b'roi, a bechor doesn't get b'roi, and a bechor doesn't get pishnayim b'milve. Now Tosfos just established not only does a bechor not get pishnayim b'milve, a husband doesn't yorish a milvi either, right? So all three sentences, plus the one that goes unsaid, could all be said in one sentence, right? Meaning all four statements, there are only three that are made in the Gemara. One Tosfos says we have to figure out on our own, but all four could have really been said in one line. Just say, a bechor and a baal are not notel b'ra'oi or b'milveh. And that would have been fine. You would have had everything you needed. So he says, Mishum de l'gabi b'char, Mishnah shleimei hi b'char. So the reason why we don't put it together is because l'gabi a b'char, not getting pishnayim b'roi and b'milveh, that's a Mishnah, it's enough in a Mishnah b'charos, de'inot al b'roi. Aval bal de einotel beroi lo ashkach lo mishnah v'lo braisa. But the fact that a bal does not get beroi is not recorded in Tanaim at all. It is neither a mishnah nor a braisa. El meimra da amar Rabbi Avohu umatav mishrei Rabbi Shua ben Karkala el bepirkin. It's a meimra of Amoraim, so we don't want to put the two on the same level. We don't want to put the two in the same sentence because they come from vastly different sources. It's interesting that we're meaning, even though we're convinced that both are the halacha, still we don't put them together. It's similar to, you know, we don't like to confuse rabbanans and daraisas. So obviously, even within halachos that come from Torah Shebaal Peh, we don't want to confuse that which comes from Tanaim and that which comes from Amoraim. Now, one more point. Tosos on the bottom. Ve'ena b'char notel pishnayim b'milva. We're not going to read all Tosos, but on this point that the Bukhar does not get pishnayim in a milva in a loan, says Tosos v'kol shekein b'shevach. He doesn't get pishnayim in a loan. For sure, he doesn't get pishnayim in any shevach, in any improvements. That's what we discussed already. V'hadal onokat shevach. Meaning, if we're wrapping up the whole sugi now, we want to say what a Bukhar doesn't get Pishnayim in, shouldn't we have mentioned Shevach? We have like a lot of Gemara about that. So why don't we mention Shevach? So he said, no, the reason why we don't mention Shevach now is because Mishevach lo avashamina de milva have a ra'i. The ikal mandi, meaning, if you would tell me that a Bukhar does not get Pishnayim in Shevach, I would not know what the status of a milva was. I would not know that milva is considered ra'i. I would just know about Shevach. The ikal mandi amar da fil rabbanan have a milva muchzak. Because there are those who think that even if Shevach is considered something that he does not get Pishnayim, it's only Ra'ui, a milva would still be called Muchzak, the command of Gavya Damiya, because a milva is considered as if it's already collected. So Lahachi Nakat Rav Papa, milva, Dina Bechar Notel Pishnayim. That's why we bedafka say that you don't get, the Bechar doesn't get Pishnayim in a milva in a loan. The Shamina Mina, Kolshken Shevach. And we see from there that Kavul Chomer is not going to get Pishnayim in Shevach. Right, if he doesn't get in a milva, he's not going to get shevach. V'yafal gavdil gabe bal ubechor chashvinon milva ra'ui legabe ksubas isha chashiva muchzekes. And he says, just you should know, even though legabe a husband, legabe a bechor, a milva is only considered ra'ui, and therefore neither of them receive the Yerusha from it, or the Bukhar doesn't get the Pishnayim from it, still not legabe all halachas we consider a milva ra'i. When it comes to ksubas isha, we consider a milva to be muchzekes. V'govi isha ksubasa mi milva. A woman could collect her ksuba from it, afal pisha inu notel slomen ha-shevach lomen ha-ra'i. Even though a woman does not collect her ksuba from that which is ra'i, a milva we don't consider ra'i. A milva we consider muchzak legabe in isha. We just don't consider it muchzak legabe a Bukhar. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter. Next thing, today's daf, Kuf Chavav Amir Aleph at the top. Umilva she'imo palgi. Any milva that's with him, they divide. What's a milva that's with him? What's this talking about? Says Rashbam, Shabachor nischayev la'aviv. It's not stam alone, somebody owes the father. It's a loan that the son owes the father. The son borrowed money from the father. So he owes the father money. Does he get pishnayim of that? Right? He certainly has to pay back the estate. So if he borrowed $100 from the father, does he get pishnayim of that $100? So palgi, he splits that pishnayim portion. Why? Says Rashbam, palgi chelek b'chori yachluku b'nein. Now, if anybody else owed the father money, he would not get pishnayim from the milva. It's only ra'i, it's not muchzak. Anybody else in the world. Now, if he owes the father the money, somehow we're not sure he might get pishnayim. Why? Because he splits it with his brothers. It's considered a suffik whether he gets pishnayim, and therefore we divide it. We don't know if when the son owes the father money, if that's called that the father is muchzak in it. Because it could be that the special relationship between a father and son is such that when a son owes the father money, he really, really means to give it back and to have the father have a complete shibud on all of his properties. And he very generously intends to be makna all of his properties to his father as a security or collateral for that loan. Kadeshi of Muksak Bahach Milva, so that the father will be Muksak in that loan, Vitalba Pishna Vitalba Ihu Pishnaim, so that he could get Pishnaim from it. Meaning the Bukhar has to have a long term view of things. Granted, when I borrow money from Stamagai, so maybe I don't have such a strong feeling about making sure that he's muchsuk right now in whatever money I owe him, right? But when I borrow money from, when a man borrows money from his father, and he realizes he's the Bukhar, so he has a vested interest in making sure that his father is muchsuk in it. He wants his father to be muchsuk in it, because if his father's muchsuk in it, he's going to get pishnayim of it. Oh, Dilmor, maybe nah, lo shna mishar milva. Maybe he's just like any other borrower that the father has. Hilkach palgi, and therefore, since we're not sure what status the Bukhar has, we divide. Now, the Rashbam seems to shift emphasis halfway through. In the first half of the Rashbam, he seems to be saying that the Bukhar wrote so the shabi nechasavlav v'legamri v'ayin yafar gamar. And then, meaning just that a son and his father, he wants to make sure that the shibud is complete, that he really, you know, that he's really being generous with his father, that he's not being a leech off of his father. He wants his father to be kona, and then he sort of focuses on the fact that it's dafka the Bukhar, because the Bukhar realizes that he needs his father to be muchzuk if he's going to get more than his brothers. Meaning, it's nafkamina would be: is this a din in any child being owing money to the father, or is this dafka din in a Bukhar? What if one of the other brothers owed money to the father? Would that also be a suffek? So the Pashtus is, Rashbam's trying to explain, no, that it would not be a suffek. Any other child has no vested interest in making sure that their father is muchzak, because they don't gain anything by having their father being muchzak in it. They're going to get the chelek pashut whether the father's muchzak or not. It's only the Bukhar that needs his father to be muchzak in this money in order to be able to get the Pishnayim. That's the that's what the Rashbam is trying to explain. Now, Tosfos disagrees with the entire analysis. Tosfos says what? It's because of Mamon Amutl B'Safek? He doesn't buy it. He says, B'Mulva Shimo Palgi, Lo Mishum D'Kaim Elan Mamon Amutl B'Safek Cholkin. Says Tosfos, it's not because we hold Mamon Amutl B'Safek Cholkin, because he says, it's not true. Da'o Lo Kaim Elan Kusum Chuskin D'Prishus La'el. We don't paskin that way. Meaning, even though it's a very well-known phrase, "Mamon Amutl B'Safek Cholkin," whenever you have a safek, you divide the money. We don't pass in that way. Typically, when there's "Mamon Amutl B'Safek," we say "Motzi Mechaveru LaFaraya," right? We say whoever's muchzak in it gets to keep it. We don't typically say "Mamon Amutl B'Safek Cholkin." We don't hold that way. So says Tosfos, it's difficult to understand that Milva Shimo is palgi, because we always hold Mamon Amutl B'Safek Cholkin. It's not true. It's inaccurate. He says, El Takanas Chachamim Hi Hacha. No, this is a special Takanas Chachamim, that the Bukhar gets Pishnayim as a special Takanas Chachamim, that the Bukhar would divide the Pishnayim of loans that he owes to the father. And he says, Makom Shem Furish Behadid the Cholkin, it's not only a Takanas Chachamim over here, any place in Shas that you're going to find where it says explicitly that when we have a Suffolk, we divide it, that we paskin that way, that we paskin to divide it, it's not because it should not be taken as an indication that we're going to hold Mamon Amutl B'Safek Cholkin. Those are exceptions. Whenever the Gemara says explicitly that we're going to divide Mamon that's Amutl B'Safek, it's always just an exception. It's not meant to teach us the rule. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter, top line, Amravun Amravasi, Bechor Shemicha, Micha. If a Bechor voices his objections, then the objection is noted. What in the world is he talking about? So again, the Rashbam fills us in. Even though we said, and we've already established very clearly, that a Bechor does not get Pishnayim in whatever improvements are made to the property after the father dies, miu im micha va'amar al tashbichu chelki. But let's say father dies, they didn't get around to dividing the estate yet. The Bukhar knows that if any investment is made in this property and it turns a profit, he's not going to get Pishnayim of that profit. And he knows that there's a lot of potential in this property, that there's a lot of profit to be turned in this property. So he can get, messed out of a lot of money right now if he doesn't do the split very quickly. But they're not. These things take time. So what does he do? He makes a machal. He says, don't invest yet. Don't put anything into it. Not in my chelek. Leave my chelek out of it. Whatever investments you want to put in, leave my chelek out of it, because he wants to be able to get. He wants to be able to maximize whatever profits the estate potentially can produce. So Ella Nachlok Miyad, he says, we'll divide it right now. Vashbiach ani shnei chalakim shali. Let me invest in my shnei chalakim, my double portion, ve'atol kol shivchan, so that I can get the profits. Ve'hein this ya'ashu milachlok, but the brothers didn't divide it. V'shbiach anuchasim, they didn't listen to him. And they go and they invest in the property and and it turns a profit. So Hari Micha ben, what more do you want him to do? He can't, he can't do anything more. He told them, don't do anything. I want to get my pishnayim. So once he made a machad, that's all we expect. That's all he needs to do. V'yitol pishnayim. Then he can get pishnayim, even in the profit that the estate turned. Da'paskin on the kaman yeshul b'char pishnayim kodem chaluka misha shechafetz l'zakos b'b'charaso. Because we're going to say later on that the b'char has pishnayim even before they actually divide it, from the moment that he wants to divide it, from the moment that he wants to acquire his chelek b'chora. V'arei chafetz litol chelko li'alter. He was interested immediately in getting his chelek. V'zoche b'chelek b'charaso miyad kol makom shehu. He's immediately zoche in his chelek b'chora. Hilkach nechasin didei ishvach. And therefore, it's his nechasim that were improved, and he can get the pishnayim of those improvements. Good, says the Gemara Vayter. So the Bukhar has the right to make a macha. Amar Rabba Mestaver Taimei Deravasi Ba'anavim U'batzum Zesim U'maskum. Rav Asi is correct that the Bukhar has the right to make a macha and receive the shevach. If the shevach involved taking grapes and removing them from the vines, or taking olives and removing them from the trees and gathering them together, Aval darchum lo. But if they did more than that, if they actually turned the grapes into wine, they turned the olives into oil, they did some significant act on it, then he would not be zocha in pishnayim of the shevach. Rav Yosef Amar afilu darchum. Rav Yosef says, even if they were dorech them, even if they already crushed them. Darchum meikari, so frek the Gemara, really, even if they crushed them already, darchum meikari invi hashtachamra. How could he get pishnayim in the shevach after they were dorechem? At first it was grapes, now it's wine, it's not even the same item. What's the Gemara's question? What are we talking about over here? What's the chilik between whether they just cut them off the tree or they did more to it? So the Rashbam explains, when they just took them off the vines, the grapes off the vines, the olives off the trees, Rashbam at the end of the second wide line, da'anavim hayu va'akati anavim ninhu va'anavim shel b'chor hu di'ishbach, that they were anavim, they belonged to him, they're still anavim, and his anavim improved. V'areiz adama l'gozal parav ha'okiru d'mishalim osukvo she'i ha'ov lo nishtanis. It's like if you steal a cow and then cows go up in value. So you have to pay back that cow. Doesn't make a difference. You didn't change it. It's still a cow. It may have gotten a little fatter. It may have got fine. So it's worth a little more money. But that's the cow that you stole. You pay it back. Aval darchum al menas lezakos hein b'shevach l'shevach dricha lo shakil b'char pishnayim. But once they were dorechit, the b'char does not get pishnayim. Kiditnan hagozel etzim v'asan kelim. Right, what if I steal wood and I don't just leave the wood around and wood goes up in value? No, I turn that wood into kalim. I make beautiful kalim with that wood. So what do you pay back? You pay back kalim? No. Mishalim kshas ha-gzela. You pay back the value of the wood at the time of the gzela. Dekanya b'shinoi. Those are the key words. Because once there was a major shinoi done to it, you're kona it. So to over here, these yisomim were kona b'shinoi. They were kona, these grapes and these olives, b'shinoi, once they were dorech, the olives and the grapes. Fine. So then the Gemara is asking, wait a second, how could Rav Yosef disagree and say that even when they're dorech them, the Bukhar still gets pishnayim? Meikari invi, hashtachamra, what happened to the shinoi? Don't you see that it's a totally different item and therefore the yisomim should have been kona? So Kadam Ravuk Barachama, litin lo demei hezek anavav. So Ravuk Barachama explains, they have to pay for the damage done to the grapes. Hachana, Maruk Barachama explained in a different context that we're talking about paying for damage done to the grapes. So over here as well, they have to pay for damage done to the grapes. Hecha in mar Rav Ukva bar Chama. Where did Rav Ukva bar Chama ever make his initial statement? Ahada amar Rav Yehuda amar Shmuel. That on that which Rav Yehuda amar Shmuel said, b'charu pashut sheniach le'navien anavim u'batzum, that of a b'char and a pashut, their father left them grapes, and their boat said they cut the grapes from the vines, zesim u'maskum, or they removed the grapes from the tree, the olives from the trees, b'char notel pishnayim, afilu darchum. The b'char takes pishnayim even if they were dorech them afterwards. Darchum, what do you mean? Meikari invi hashtachamra. Didn't it go through shinoi that initially it was grapes and now it's wine? So that's where Marukva said, I'm Marukva Barchama, litin lo dmei hezekat navav. No, in the sense that you have to pay. They were his grapes, and now he doesn't have grapes anymore because you destroyed them. You turned them into wine. So you have to give him for the, you have to pay him, reimburse him for the hezek that you did to his grapes. So that was the way that the Rashbam reads the Gemara. If you look in the fifth wide line of the Rashbam points out that Rabbeinu Chananel disagrees with his reading of this Gemara. Rabbeinu Chananel Piresh, Bechor Shemicha, Va'amar Eini Mevater Chelik Bechora, Dayo. Rabbeinu Chananel says, a Bechor Shemicha just means a Bechor says, I'm not going to be Mevater, my Chelik Bechora, that I intend to keep my Pishnayim. So that's all he needs to do. Ve'in tzarech limchos pamacheres, and he never subsequently needs to make another macha'a to be entitled to his full pishnayim. Va'amar Rabba, and then Rabba says, yes, hani mili kishemicha ba'anav mubatzum zesum umaskum, hu de'in tzarech limchos lo pamacheres. Meaning we're not talking about pishnayim of shevach over here. We're talking about b'chor getting pishnayim in general. So Rabba says, you know what, when he makes a macha'a, that when we divide our grapes, when we have a fruit basket, before we divided the estate, and we just split up the fruit from the fruit basket, as long as he made one macha'a, it's okay if they divide it evenly one time. That's not him saying that I don't care about ever getting pishnayim in anything. He could still retain his rights getting pishnayim when they divide the fields and they divide the orchards and they divide the vineyards. Just because one time they were splitting a basket of fruit, he took half of the basket of fruit and he gave the other brother half of the basket of fruit. As long as he made one macha, that's not indicative of him giving up his entire pishnayim. Avlim darchum v'chalku v'lo micha viter. But if they were dorech these grapes and these olives, and they divided it evenly without him getting pishnayim, and he didn't make a new macha'a, then it's a symbol, it's a sign that he's mevatar on the entire pishnayim of everything. There could be millions of dollars of assets that this estate owns. He just gave up the pishnayim and everything, because when they were dorech these grapes, he didn't make a macha, he just split it with his brothers. He said, yeah, just give me a cup of the wine, you'll take a cup of wine. By the fact that he split it evenly, that's a vitur on the entire pishnayim. So that's how the Rabbeinu Chananel reads our Gemara. And we can see it's not as crazy as it sounds, because the Gemara is going to say pretty much the same thing a little bit later on. Says Rashbam, Veloni Hirali. He says, I don't think that's correct. Chada, first of all, Dafil lo michalo hifsir chelik b'chora, ad shiito chelik b'achas min asados kepashut. He says, no, when does he lose the chelik b'chora? Only if they start dividing up actual property. They start dividing a field. And the b'chora says, you know what, we'll split this one evenly. If he says that, that's when he's mevata in the chelik b'chora. But taking a grape and giving the brother the same grape that he took, you know, the same size grape that he took, is not being mevata in the chelik b'chora. Va'oz v'iter chelik b'chora b'chol nechasim. Only when he took a field. Va'oda ha'kati lo harin l'el b'shem v'itur, d'neima mekibin shemicha, micha v'lo yivatarot. Furthermore, says Rashbam, that's the sugya we're going to get to next. We're not really up to that sugya yet. The sugya of a b'chor being mevater, we haven't really touched. Why would the Gemara be talking about it here? The Gemara should be talking about a continuation of a b'chor getting pishnayim and shevach and things like that, because that's what we were just talking about. But to already jump into the sugya of vitor, it's just out of place. So Rashbam says, that's why I prefer my own pshat in the Gemara. Good. Says the Gemara Vayter after the two dots. Am Ravasi, b'char shenot al chelik ha-pashut viter. A b'char who takes a portion equal to a pashut, he's been mevater. He no longer has his chelik b'chora. My viter, what does viter mean? He's been mevater on what? How much of the chelik b'chora? So the Gemara is a machlokas between Rav Papa and Rav Papi about what Rava held. This is not the only place in Shas that Rav Papa and Rav Papi disagree about what Rava held, right? That's they were apparently both students of Rava, and from time to time, Rav Papa and Rav Papi disagree about what Rava held. One thing just sticks out, I just taught in Shir yesterday in Yeshiva, in Ksubis, in the Sugya of Bia B'chil B'Shabbos, on Dav Zayin Amar Aleph. There's a machlokas between Rav Papa and Rav Papi, whether Rava held Bia B'chil B'Shabbos is mutter or asr. So you have that they were apparently Talmidim of Rava, and they heard different things. They were both in Rava's shir. So Rav Papa Mishmei the Rava, where are we? Rav Papa Mishmei the Rava Amar. Rav Papa said in the name of Rava, Viter ba'osa sadeh, that when the Bechor takes a chelik pashut in a field, he's been mevatar in his chelik bechora in that field. Rav Papi Mishmei the Rava Amar, Vita b'kolam chasam kula. No. Once a bechor takes a chelik pashur in one field, there could be millions of dollars of other assets, dozens and dozens of fields. The bechor has been mevatar on it all. He's been mevatar on pishnayim and everything. If he split this field 50-50, then he wants to split everything 50-50. He's already been mevatar on his bechorah. What are they arguing about? So the Gemara explains. Rav Papa mishmei derava amar viter ba'al sasada kasavra in lo lebechor kodem chaluka. Rav Papa says in the name of Rava that he was mevatar only on that field because he holds that the bechor doesn't own anything before the chaluka. He doesn't own his chelik bechorah prior to the division of the estate, and therefore it's not his beforehand. So this field that's baliyado, he can when this field is baliyado, when they divide it, so that's where he can say, I'm giving up my chelik b'chora. But that part of the chelik b'chora that was not yet baliyado, that they haven't even begun to divide, he can't give it away yet. He doesn't own it yet, so you can't be mevatar on it yet. You can only be mevatar once it's yours. Rav Papi Mishmei Derava Amar Viter B'Kol HaNechasim, and Rav Papi who says that he's been Mevatar in everything, he must hold fundamentally different. That B'Kol HaNechasim Kulan Kasavar Yesh Lo L'Bechor Kodem Chaluka. He must hold that the Bechor is already the owner of all of his Pishnayim in all the lands and all the properties, even before they get to the Chaluka. And because he's already the owner, he has the right to be Mevatar. Umida achel baha, achel bekulu. And if he's been mochel on this, he's been mochel on everything else, and he already has the right to be mochel on everything. Says the Rashbam, what this is really about is davar shelo b'liolam. That the first view is that he does not yet own the pishnayim in the other estates, in the other properties, and therefore it's a davar shelo b'liolam. He can't be makne davar shelo b'liolam to the other brothers. But in the second view, right, in the view of Rav Papi, he does already own a portion of every other piece of land in the father's estate, and therefore it's a davar habali olam, and he can be makna a davar habali olam. That's how the Rashbam explains it. Now, that explanation is not agreed upon by everybody. The Rashba asks that, no, adrabba, I could have said the other way. I could have said that according to the man diyamar that ein lebechor kodem chaluka, that the bechor doesn't own anything before the chaluka, that's where for sure it should help to be misalik himself from a davar shelo b'liolam, because he hasn't yet been kona it. So it's very easy. You could just be misalik, and that's it. You don't have to make any active form of kinyan to leave the field. But the man diyamar that the bechor does own something before the chaluka, according to the man Yamar, yesh lo b'char kodem chaluka, mechila should work only al menas shaviter. And the Rashba therefore disagrees completely with the Rashbam, and he says when it says that he's mevatar on the nechasim that the viter is going to work, it means that it's an umdana, that when he doesn't explain what he's doing, so the machlokas is an umdana. The machlokas is what's going through his head. When he just says, in this field I'll take a chelik pashut, does that mean that he's going to take it? And he doesn't explain whether he's going to take a chelik pashut and everything else either. Meaning, certainly the Rashba says he has the right to be mevater either way, whether he owns it or whether he doesn't own it. No, it's just that it's a question of what's he intending to do if he didn't explain. Now, if he did explain what he was doing, then there's no issue. But if he didn't explain what he was doing, is he intending to be mevater on everything, or is he only intending to be mevater on this? Now, this idea of the Rashba, that a siluk can work on a davar shelo b'liolam, right? That's the Rashba's whole vart. That the Rashbam is assuming you can't be misalik yourself from a davar shelo b'liolam. Says the Rashba, no, you can't be makne a davar shelo b'liolam. But a siluk, to just say, I have nothing to do with it, that you can do on a davar shelo b'liolam. So says the Ktsos as well in Reish Ayin Ches, Yud Gimel, and he says the Bechor can be misalik from the Chelik Bechora even when his father's alive. And it's vaday lo b'liolam for him when his father's alive, right? But the point is that he has the right, a siluk is different than a kinyan. Fine, says the Gemara Vayter, v'had Rav Papi v'Rav Papa lav b'feresh itmar el mechala itmar. Neither Rav Papi nor Rav Papa actually heard Rava directly comment about whether a Bechor is mevatar on all of the nechasim when he takes a chelek pashut in one of the nechasim. They only derived it from a story that happened. What was the story? There was a Bechor that went unauthorized and he sold not only his own nechasim but the nechasim of the pashut as well. Azul Yasmi b'nei Pashut l'meichel Timri. Now the children of the Pashut who had since died, right? The brother who was supposed to get the chelik Pashut who had since died, his children go to eat some of the fruits mehanu l'kuchos from the people who had purchased their portion of the estate. Machunahu. So the people who purchased the estate said, "What are these guys doing on my property?" So they started hitting them. Get out of my property. Amri luhu krovim lomis tayed zavinatinu l'nechsayu alamim chadami mechisalu. So the relatives of those kids said to the lukuchos, "It's not enough that you went unauthorized and bought their portion of the estate, but now you're going to hit them too." So asul kamed Rava, they went to Rava. Amri luhu l'asav l'aklum. So Rava said, when the bechor sold that portion of the estate, it's invalid. He had no right to do that, and therefore the children are correct over here. So what does that mean, loss of a klum? That's where Rav Papi and Rav Papa had their debate. Mars of a loss of klum bepalga. Rav Papi holds loss of klum means on the chelik pshitus he's loss of lo klum, and on his own chelik pshitus and kol shekain in the chelik pashur of his brother, but the chelik bechora that he's allowed to sell, that it's okay to sell. Why? Because he already is the owner of it. Ah, yesh lo bechor kodem chaluka. And Rav Papi says, now let's take that to the logical conclusion. If he's already the owner of it, he has the right to be misalik himself in advance. Umar savar bekulu, and Mar savar, Rav Papa holds, no, it means loss of lo klum at all. Even the chelik bechora, he did not yet have a right to sell prior to the chaluka, because he does not own the chelik bechora until the chaluka. Sholch mitam bechor shemachar kodem chaluka loss of klum. So they sent a message that bechor that sells before the chaluka, it's totally invalid. Alma inul bechor kodem chaluka. The implication, therefore, is that a bechor does not own his chelik bechor prior to the chaluka. V'hilchsa yesh lebechor kodem chaluka. We happen to paskin not that way. We paskin a bechor does own his chelik prior to the chaluka. Marzutra Midrishva Palag Batsna de Palpali Badi Achen Beshava. Marzutra happened to have been a Bechor, and they had a basket of peppers. So, you know, at the Shiva house, someone, you know, they took a basket of peppers that their father owned, and he splits it evenly with his brothers. A basket of peppers. Asal Kamed Ravashi Yamlei Hol Vitarta Bemiksas Vitarta Bekolon Chasim Kulan. So our Papa said, sorry, you know the $1 billion estate your father left? Well, you're not getting Pishnaim in it anymore. Since you split the basket of peppers evenly with your brothers, you have been Megala, that you don't care about Pishnaim, that you're willing to split everything evenly. The whole $1 billion estate now gets split evenly. You don't get the Pishnaim anymore. It's pretty serious stuff. Says the Mishnah, Homer ish ploni b'ni b'char lo yitol pishnayim, ish ploni b'ni lo yirishimachiv. Let's say a father says, this son of mine who's a b'char, I don't want him to get pishnayim. Or a guy says, ish ploni b'ni lo yirishimachiv. This son of mine, I don't want him to get any part of the Yerusha. He tries to write his son out of the Yerusha. Lo amar klum, you can't do that. Chis nal mashal kasa b'torah. Because the Torah says that there is dinim of Yerusha. You can't change those dinim of Yerusha. You can't go against the dinim of Yerusha. Hamechalik nechas of lebana val piv. But what if a person is verbally dividing his estate, not midina Yerusha, he's just giving each of his children a nice big gift before he dies, riba le'echad amiyad le'echad, and he gives one more than he gives the other, vish v'lenas ha-bechar, or he makes the bechar get the same amount as everyone else, dvarav kayamin, that he's allowed to do. That's a tzavos, shkiv meira, doesn't need a kinyan, you don't need a shtar, you don't need a mashicha, dibur piv alone is good enough. He's mitzvah machmas misa. The Rosh Hashanah said that's totally fine, and that works. He's not doing it b'toras Yerusha. He's doing it b'toras tzavas shkiv mira. V'im amra mishum Yerusha lomer klum. But the second he mentions the word Yerusha, he says, I want this, my bechor, to yarshin the same as everybody else. No, you can't do that. You can't say that word. But if at any point he writes that he's doing it l'shem matana, since it has a Lashon Matana explicitly written, then Dvarav Kayam, and then he's allowed to do it. Says the Gemara, Lema Masnis and Delok Rabbi Yehuda. Our Mishnah seems to be against Rabbi Yehuda. Why? Di'i Rabbi Yehuda Ha'amar B'davar Shel Mamatano Kayam. Rabbi Yehuda holds, even though in general we have a rule you can't be Masna Mashkas B'Torah, when it's a Mamanis issue, so you can always transfer money, Right? So when you make a tanai on money, then the tanai is going to be valid. After all, the tanya, we have a brisa where Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is expressed, where it says, a guy wants to get married, he just doesn't want to have any of the responsibilities of marriage. We thought this was a modern machla, right? That a person wants to get married, he just doesn't want to have the responsibility of supporting a wife. He'd much prefer if she supported him. So he says, I'm going to get married to you as long as I don't have any responsibilities. I don't have to pay anything. No sherksos va'ona. So then the harezu mekudeshos utzno but. Rameir says the Kiddushin is valid, the Tanai is invalid, because the Torah says that he does have responsibilities, so he can't shirk those responsibilities, so the Tanai is invalid. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, B'davar Shel Mamon, Tuno Kayim. Those of the responsibilities that are financial in nature, the Tanai is valid. Those are the responsibilities that are physical or that are emotional in nature, the Tanai is not valid. But the financial responsibility, since it's money, he can make a Tanai even if it's against the Torah. So you see, our Mishnah is against Rabbi Yehuda, because our Mishnah holds even by mammon issues, he's not allowed to make a Tanai against the Torah. So afilu tam Rabbi Yehuda, hasam yadu v'kamachla, hachlo kamachil. Says Gemara, big difference. Rabbi Yehuda is talking about a case where you mekadish the isha and you tell her, I'm being mekadish you al manas that I don't want to have to pay for sharik susvona, right? But so she knows, and she's mochel, she's mekabel the kiddushin anyway. But over here, the Bechar didn't say, I'm okay with this. The father's just saying, yeah, I don't want my Bechar to get pishnayim. So that you can't do. The person has to be mochel. Yes, you can make monetary transactions that are not prescribed by the Torah, but that's only if both parties of the transaction agree. Amr Rav Yosef, Amr Ish Ploni B'ni Bechori Hu Notal Pishnayim. If a man identifies his own son as a Bechor, we don't know, all of his children look alike, they look around the same age. And a man says, no, this son, this one is the Bechor. So that's enough. The Bechor can get Pishnayim. We don't need any further evidence that he's the Bechor. Ish Ploni Bechor Hu, but if you identify in someone else's family, say, oh, yeah, that guy's a Bechor, Eino Notal Pishnayim, Dilma Bechor Dima Kamar. Just to say that a guy is a Bechor, me, I'm sorry, not in someone else's family. A father says about one of his sons, he's a Bechor. He doesn't say, he's my Bechor, he says, he's a Bechor. So as far as we know, that might just mean he's a Bechor to his mother, not necessarily a Bechor to his father, and therefore he should not get Pishnayim. One more story. A guy came to Rabba Bar Bechana. He says, I know about this guy that he's a Bechor. He says, well, how do you know that this guy's a Bechor? He says, because his father used to always refer to him as his idiot Bechor. He used to always refer to his son as his Bechor Shota, as lovingly. So says the Gemara, no, that's not a riot or anything. Maybe he's just a Bechor to his mother. Because a lot of times fathers refer to the Bechor to the mother as their idiot Bechor. It's not only an expression that's reserved for the Bechor from the father, and therefore that's not necessarily a riot, that he's a Bechor who's going to get Pishnaim. Okay, we'll continue with more stories tomorrow.